Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. Great to be together. Wonderful to be able to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to Romans chapter 4, continuing our way through the letter. And we're going to be reading verse 13 to 18. But before we do that, let's come before Him in a time of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You've spoken through Jesus and through Your apostles and prophets, and that we have words that we can read and hear You speak again today. And we just pray that as we read this passage and seek to understand it, that You would give us hearts that are ready to believe. And we ask that Your Spirit would take these words from these pages and press it into our souls, that indeed we might grow in grace and understanding. Help us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be the heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. I said 18, but it was meant to be down to verse 17, but that's all right. Well, the promise of God, Paul says in verse 13, the promise of God, for the promise to Abraham and his offspring, the promise of God is received by faith. So, read verse 13, the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The gift of that promise, if you remember back to Genesis, that promise being that Abraham would have many offspring, he'd be made a father of a multitude of nations, and that through his offspring, the nations would be blessed. Paul points out that it did not come by law, but it came by faith. Of course, one of the objections that the Jew might raise is, well, could not this promise be received by law? He dealt with circumcision previously, we saw that briefly yesterday, but today, The Jew in the back of the church is raising their hand and saying, but what about the law? Surely by keeping the law, we receive the promise that was made to Abraham. There's a promise given to Abraham, and we receive that by doing the law, by keeping the law, by living faithfully. God's gift to us, the fulfillment of his promise to Abraham, comes through our faithfulness. Now, to you and I in the church, we might think that sounds a bit crazy, but you've got to remember the world in which Paul was writing. The world in which Paul was writing was one in which saying obedience would bring about promise was very normal. So, even at the time of Jesus, with the Pharisees, there was an idea that the reason they were under the Romans, the reason that they were not flourishing as an earthly kingdom, was because they had not kept the law. And so the Pharisees sought to restore the nation through obedience, by calling people to faithful living. And they believed that if they were good enough, if they were righteous enough, if they were law-bound enough, if they would fulfill the entirety of the Mosaic law, then they would receive that blessing of Abraham to be a great nation. However, what they failed to realize is that promises can't be received by works. Promises can't be received by works. And so Paul gives three reasons why the promise can't be received by works. Firstly, he says, if it was by law, it would cancel out the promise. So he says in verse 14, if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. Now just think about that for a second. If it was by hard work that you received the promise of God, then it wouldn't be about faith, would it? You can't have both. I know that some theologies, Catholic theologies and others, really want to hold together. They want to try and hold together both faith and works coming together in order to produce righteousness. But Paul is highlighting for us that if you have any degree of works, of law obedience, then you do not have salvation by faith. You do not have the receiving of a promise. For the promise is God stating what he is going to do. God states to Abraham, this is how I will bless you. Now you and I are used to this, aren't we? When someone makes us a promise, we have one way of responding. We respond by trusting that the person will do what they've promised. We know that we don't receive what that person is doing through law. When our husbands or wives say to us, I promise to be at the birthday party, we can either trust them by faith that they'll do that, or we can reject the promise and seek to work hard to ensure that thing comes about. And so it is with the promise of God. God promised to Abraham the blessing and to his offspring. You can translate that one of two ways. You can either think of that as being Jesus or of being those who come under Abraham. Either way, the implication is the same. God makes a promise to Abraham and those that follow after him, and we receive that by promise. If we labor, do works, and law to receive that promise, then it's no longer a promise. It's no longer of faith. Another way of thinking about this is thinking about the providence and sovereignty of God in your life. Just think about it this way. If you knew exactly what was going to happen, if God said to you, you know, here is a roadmap of everything that's going to happen in your life, every single minute of every single second, at any point you can just stick this DVD into your computer, push play, and you're going to see what happens. You would not need trust and faith, would you? Why? Because you can just look ahead, know what's going to happen, and walk through it. You would not need to trust God. But when you don't know what's coming tomorrow, you must trust God for the outcome of the meeting, of the family situation, of the health crisis, of the car accident, of whatever it is. You need to trust him because you don't know. And so it is with the receiving of a promise. It is based upon trust because it's not something that you can do in and of yourself. But then secondly, he says it can't come by law because the only thing the law brings is wrath and condemnation. Have a look at 15. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. So Paul says the law existed for the primary purpose of condemning people, of showing people their sin. And therefore, because the law exists, the wrath of God is there. If there was no law to be broken, if there was nothing ever broken or transgressed against, then there would be no wrath. And so it's ludicrous to think that you can receive the blessings of God by obedience. Because obedience to the law, or rather the failing to obey the law, is the very thing that brings the wrath of God from which you need to be saved. But then thirdly, Paul points out that if you're saved by the law, the reason it can't be saved by the law, because if you're saved by the law, then God's power is not shown. Or rather, then it doesn't depend upon God himself. So, verse 16. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. You see, here's the problem. If you save yourself, if you receive the promise of God, if you receive righteousness through works of the law, then who deserves the praise? Who deserves the glory? Who deserves the pat on the back? Well, it's you, isn't it? Because you've done the work. It's not done by God's power. Now, we remember all the way back in chapter 1, where Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, revealing the righteousness from faith to faith. Now, if you're saved by law, then that statement is false. But since the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, since the blessing of Abraham and the promise is received by faith, then it relies upon God. And it exists to glorify God. And this is why the reformers were so passionately concerned about justification by faith and about opposing the Roman Catholic doctrine of works plus faith. The reason being that any doctrinal system which highlights and requires any amount of law obedience steals praise, steals worship from God, and gives it to man. But when we have a doctrine which is centered upon faith, centered upon the promise, we have the very thing that Paul is showing us. It depends upon faith, so that the promise may rest on grace. You see, the promise to Abraham highlights the glorious grace of our God, doesn't it? That you and I, who did nothing, receive everything. That you and I, who were worthy of damnation and could never save ourselves, have been saved. That you and I, as he says in verse 17, who are dead, are given life by he who calls into existence the things that do not exist. The power of God is displayed in the lives of those who believe by faith. You see, that's the glorious thing about what Protestants have always held firmly to. That, as it says in Psalm 3, salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation does not belong to man, but it belongs to he who has paid the price, he who has given his son, he who has applied it by his spirit. This is our great and glorious salvation. This is what we will be praising God for all eternity. You must be very, very wary of anything inside of you which suggests that you must do something. Salvation relies upon me and my efforts to believe. No. Salvation relies upon me and my ability to walk humbly before my God. No. The promise and the blessing all come from God, and it is received by faith, which is a gift from God. Are you going to tire yourself out by working? By working for that which will only leave you dissatisfied? Or will you trust in him? Will you trust in him who provides your every need? Who gives you the righteousness of Christ? Let's pray. Lord, We acknowledge that very often we do begin to rely upon ourselves, and the devil loves to seek to tempt us to do so, and our hearts are very quick to turn that way. We pray that you would forgive us. Would you help us to trust you? Help us to believe the promise that you've given us, that Jesus is an all-sufficient Saviour. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for another daily devotion, and I'll see you tomorrow afternoon.